إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll be continuing with the explanation of the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. We stopped at the timing of Salah, the timing of Salatul Isha and Salatul As-Subh. There is something that is important to discuss with respect to these two salawat, and that is when we talk about the time that Salatul Isha comes in, we say that is when the reddish twilight disappears. And the time of Fajr comes in when the twilight, the true dawn appears. So it is difficult in some places to really get this. Take for instance, maybe in Nigeria here, it is easy for people to get the disappearance of the reddish twilight, so to say. Then the whitish twilight comes in. But in some places it is difficult. Like some places in the globe, like those who live in 48.6 latitude, that is the latitude 48.6, the Arctic zone, maybe that of the northern or the southern hemispheres. People who live from that place, maybe down to 60-something, at times they have problem with this. In fact, at times, the time for Isha may not come in until late, to the extent that some of them will ask the scholars, can they do general of Salatul Isha and Salatul Maghrib? Because Salatul Isha will not come until after many hours of the night has gone. That is, they will not be able to see that whitish, so to say, the twilight that marks the beginning of Salatul Isha. So to the extent that the time frame between Salatul Subhi and Salatul Isha may not be more than an hour or 2 hours at times. That is, after an hour or 2 hours, it is time for Salatul Subhi. Unlike here, that, you know, maybe by 8, Salatul Isha has come in, and Salatul Fajr won't come in until maybe around 5:40-something now. See the difference, you see the hours. But in these places, it will be difficult for them. That when they observe Salatul Maghrib now, anticipating Salatul Isha, so this may not come until late in the night. And immediately they pray Salatu Isha, maybe in 2 hours time or so, Salatu Subh comes in. So in some parts, places like Norway, Finland, the Scandinavia generally, so they experience things like this. Even at times, they may have a situation where they will not, the sun will set for months, maybe 2 months. Or maybe some of them will have a situation where they will not see what the sun for 2 months or 3 months. So are they going to pray? So scholars, they start on this. The Fiqh Council or the Fiqh Academy under Majmu' Fiqh Islami, they discuss this things like this, to the extent that they formed a committee to study things like this. And what they arrived at is that when they observe Salatul Maghrib, for those days that they are experiencing this type of thing, that maybe the time of Salatul Isha will not come in early, that those who cannot wait can do jahu. Maybe like the young ones, but those who can bear that, they should wait till that time. They should wait till that time. So that is one thing that they arrived at. Then in a situation where they don't have the sun is not setting at all. And you know the solar that we observe is based on what? Sun, majority. It is the sun you use to determine the 5 daily prayers. So if the sun does not set, it will be difficult for them to get what? Salatul Maghrib, to get Salatul Al-Isha, to get Salatul Sufri. What are they going to do? Here some scholars said, maybe they should use the timing of Makkah and Medina, because that is the place where the wahi started. Some scholars said no, they should use the timing of the countries that have normal weather, so to say, or normal whatever, to determine theirs. Take for instance, let's say Nigeria has that problem, and Ghana is having normal timing. So when they are praying Salatu Maghrib here, we pray Salatu Maghrib, even when the sun hasn't set. Because you have to observe Salah. You have to observe Salah. And this is what most scholars are upon. Contrary to some scholars who say, since the sun does not set, that means what? No Salatu Maghrib. Some did ijtihad and said it, but this is just maybe one person or two persons. But most people, they are of the opinion that you are going to do takdir. So use the timing of those countries that are nearby and maybe they have normal prayer time. So even when the sun hasn't set, for instance, maybe the time of Salatul Isha hasn't come in, so we can't see the signs. So what you do is for you to use the timing of the... So, and this is what the Fiqh Academy, this is what they agree upon. That is with respect to places that maybe they experience the sun not setting, or maybe the sun not appearing, that this is what they are going to do. But in a situation where the sun sets and appears, but maybe it has what longer time, longer day, sorry, or maybe the other way. So what they are going to do is that people should wait to observe at the normal time. But those who cannot bear it can do jahru of Maghrib and Isha, for instance. So they can do the jahru of the two. So this is something that is important that you ought to know. So and that's why it would be incorrect for somebody to say in all places that the time between Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha is 1 hour, so and so minutes. Because it has led to what? Fighting in some mosque, that I've read the work of a scholar that says what? The time between Maghrib and Salatul Isha is 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour, so and so, or 70 something minutes. This cannot be true in all places. It may be true in some places. It may not be true in some places. So we have to take note of things like this. And majority of the scholars, they believe that what is applicable to the Maghrib and Isha, that is the time between Maghrib and Isha, should be the time between Fajr and sunrise. That is the time between sunset and the twilight that you are talking, the appearance of the twilight, and which is the time for Isha. So, and the time between Subhi and sunrise, that they are almost the same. But Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says this is not correct in all situations. But normally, they say this should be the right thing. So when we look at what happens in other places that, as I've mentioned, so this may not be correct. Maybe the question of Ibn Taymiyyah Allah maybe more accurate or more correct. So this is on the timing of Maghrib and Isha and Subh. So the author, rahmahullah ta'ala, says, وَيُدْرَكْ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ بِإِدْرَاكِ رَكْعَةٍ. The timing of Salah is caught up with بِإِدْرَاكِ رَكْعَةٍ, by catching up with a whole rak'ah. لِكَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَكْعَةً مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ. Whoever catches up with a rak'ah of Salah, فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ, such a person has caught up with the Salah. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, said the hadith is agreed upon. What is it trying to tell us now? If what is left of the timing of a particular salah is enough for you to observe one rak'ah, a complete rak'ah, then that means you have caught up with the timing of that particular salah. Maybe you are to observe salah to zuhr, and all you have left is just one rak'ah. After you observe a rak'ah, the time of zuhr goes out. When you observe that one rak'ah, are we going to say your prayer that you are praying is ada'an or qada'an? Are you paying back the salah, or you are praying at the right time? All this is clear. What you are able to pray, to observe of the salah to zuhr, before the time of zuhr goes out, it's a full rak'ah. So with this, you have met that salah. With this, you have met that salah. Though the remaining rak'ahs, you observe them in the time of asr. But for the fact that you observe one full rak'ah during the time of zuhr, so it is overlooked. It is overlooked. Based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said, that whoever meets a rak'ah, فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ, such a person has made the prayer. But this is clear. Now, some scholars are of the opinion that it is not up to hold a rak'ah. If you are able to meet the takbiratul ihram, they said you have met that rak'ah. So this is the view of the Hanafiya, likewise the Shafi'iyya, in one of their positions. If you are able to do Allahu Akbar before the time goes out, he said remaining rak'ah, the remaining part or the remaining salah that you observe is still counted for you as ada, not qada. So what is the evidence? They say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man adraka sajdatan Man adraka sajdata, whoever meets a sajda. They say sajda is like any other part of salah. So meaning if the person meets sajda to the ihram. So what about man adraka rak'atan? They said rak'atan is referring to what? Something like ruku as well. But what the Malikiyah are upon is that the rak'ah that is mentioned is what? It's a whole rak'ah, not rak'ah of sujood. And this is further buttressed by what Aisha radiallahu anha said, which Al-Imam Muslim recorded, that at sajda, innama hiya rak'ah. The sajda mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what? Is rak'ah. So, this is the reason why the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, is that if you meet a whole rak'ah before the timing of that particular salah goes out, it's like what we have observed it at the timing of the salah. And this is the view of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh bin Baz ibn Uthaymeen, and many others. However, the Shafi'iyya, in one of their positions, the Hanafiyya, they have the opinion that if one is able to say Allahu Akbar before the timing of that particular salah goes out, one has caught up with that salah. Now, when is one said to have met a jama'ah? You come in now, the salah is on. What can you meet that will make you get the reward of the jama'ah? Is it a whole rak'ah? Or when you are able to meet the takbiratul ihram? Eh? So this will be based on what? The previous statement. So the Malikiyah are of the opinion that for you to meet a particular jama'ah, you have to meet a whole rak'ah. If you meet the imam in what? In sujood, for instance, you have lost, and that is the last salah, the last rak'ah, sorry, that imam is observing, and you meet them in sujood, you have lost that jama'ah. Or you meet them while they have risen from rukur, you have lost that jama'ah. According to the Malikiyah, likewise, the Hanabila, in one of their positions. Likewise, Ibn Taymiyyah and Sheikh bin Baz ibn Uthaymeen are of this opinion. That is, this position, this particular matter or particular issue is coming from what will make you beat the time of Salah. So those who say the Takbiratul Ihram is enough for you to meet a particular Salah, that is before the Salah goes out. So they also say meeting Takbiratul Ihram makes you meet a particular Jama'ah. I hope it is clear. When we say somebody meet Jama'ah, you know the reward of Jama'ah. So what it means is that for you to have the reward that those who are praying in Jama'ah will have, you have to meet at least Takbiratul Ihram according to the Hanafiyya. According to the Hanafiyya. And one of those, the position of the Shafi'iyya, an opinion of some of the Anabila. But Imam Malik say what you have to meet, a full rak'ah. You have to meet a full rak'ah. So when you meet a full rak'ah, then you are said to have what? Met the Jama'ah. And he said, there's another opinion from the Hanabila that also supports this. Likewise, an opinion from the Shafi'iyya that also supports this. And this is the view of Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So at times some of us, we are confused. When you enter the masjid and you meet the imam in sujood, so, and that is the last rak'ah. What should we do? Should we stand waiting? Perhaps another person will come in so that we can pray another jama'ah, so that we can pray another jama'ah, since this one is gone. Or we should join the imam. Eh? If you join the imam, that is the view of the Hanafiya, meaning you have what? The reward of that jama'ah. But once you go by the view of the Malikiya, they say what? You don't have the reward of that jama'ah. So, and we say this is what? The view of the majority, that you don't have the view of the jama'ah. All this is clear. So you don't have the reward of the jama'ah. So, some scholars are of the opinion that, okay, if there is nobody that is coming, so you join the imam. When you are aware that maybe there are some people who are watching that are coming, so when the imam does taslim, you get up, you bring another raka, you change it to nafila rather, as if you are watching, you observe nafila, so you make taslim and watch, you go and join the new jama'ah that is established. Some scholars, they say this. But if one is that confused, rather than watch, putting yourself in this, you continue, but you know that you have not met the salah, but the reward of the jama'ah scholars, they differ whether you have the reward or not. Those who say, what you need is what? Taqbiratul ihram. And since you have done your taqbiratul ihram before you raise the head from ruku', from sujood, that means according to the Hanafiya, you have what? The reward of that jama'ah. You have the reward of that jama'ah. At the same time, you meet the salah. Now, salatul jum'ah. Somebody comes in and what? He meets them in the second raka in sujood. Did he meet the jama'ah? Did he meet the salah? The salah, he did not meet. He didn't meet the salah, according to the correct view. Yes, there is a hadith that says that man adraka raka'atan min al-jum'ah falyudif ila al-ukhra. Whoever meets raka in what? In jum'ah. So he should add another one. So who the Hanafiya, the Shafi'iyya, they all agree that no, when it comes to jum'ah, no. It is when he meets a full raka. So contrary to an opinion of Abu Hanifa that says what, if he meets them in that state, he has made the rak'ah as well. So he has to add what, another one. But the correct view here, which agrees with what you have been saying before, is that if he meets them in sujood, he has what? He has not met that rak'ah. I hope it is clear. So and that is in agreement with what the other madhab have said, contrary to what Abu Hanifa said, that you can add another one to it. Is it clear?
No,
alhamdulillah. Now, the Hanafiya that said this, when it has to do with Salatul Subhi, they have the opinion that for you to meet Salatul Subhi, you must not allow the sun to rise. If you are praying Salatul Subhi and the sun rises, they say what? Your salah is batila. So you must pray all your salah before what? Sun rises. So the sun must not rise while you are what? Observing your Salatul Subhi. In order to pray part of it. You know, there are the opinion that you need the birth of Haram. But now, when it comes to Subhi, they say, no, everything must be said before sunrise. So this is what Gharib. And that's why the scholar he said no. This is against the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Man adraka raka'atan min al-subhi qabla an tatlu' ash-shams, faqad adraka subha." Whoever meets a raka of salah of subhi before the sun rises. So this position of the Hanafiya clearly goes against that hadith. How this is clear? So we should know when do we meet a salah, the timing of a particular salah. When do we meet a particular raka? When do we meet a jama'ah, a particular jama'ah? So we should understand this. Now in addition to that, a woman that is menstruating. She now becomes pure. She's menstruating. By the time of Zuhur, she's still menstruating. Now, when Maghrib is approaching, she becomes pure. For the time that she has before Maghrib comes in, that time is enough to observe 5 rakah. Is enough to observe 5 rakah. Now, the Malikiya, likewise the Shafi'iya, the Hanabila. So they have the opinion that it is compulsory on her to observe Zuhr and Asr. Are you with me? Because Zuhr and Asr are what? At times they share timing, at times, like for a traveler, for instance, or the one in Arafah. Or the one in Muzdalifah with respect to Maghrib and Isha. So if a woman finds herself in a situation where she can watch, she has time to observe 5 rakah. She says she has to observe what? Salat Zuhr and Asr. But every time that she has is only enough for 1 rakah, then in that case, Zuhr has gone, but what? She will pray the Asr. The Hanafiya are of the opinion that no, it is only Salatul Asr that is compulsory on her. So the time of what? Zuhr is gone. The time of Zuhr is gone. How this is played. Now those who say, the Jumhur who say she has to pray Zuhr and Asr, so they build the argument on an Asr that comes from Abdurrahman bin Auf, likewise Abdullah bin Abbas, which was reported by Al-Bayhaqi. It is sunnah. So that is the fatwa that Abdullah bin Abbas and Abdurrahman bin Auf gave. So, and this is what a lot of scholars are upon. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah and some others, they hold this opinion. Why some of the opinion that it is only the salat of that time that she will have to pay that one has come. So these are some of the things that I want us to discuss on this particular matter. So inshallah we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this at our heart. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك
الحمد لله ثم الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله last week you were discussing in detail the degrees below the horizon. Can we now conclude that since the earth has various geographical points, each area around the same point would have the same the same degrees below the horizon?
I didn't get the question. Well, it depends. As I mentioned the other time, that those who prepare this prayer schedule, so to say, they use the same degree below horizon for each country, and even maybe in a particular country, the states in that country, they use the same degree below horizon for them. And that's why some people faulted that, like Khalid Shawka, you know that man in moonsighting.com, the owner of moonsighting.com. So he plotted this 19 degree below horizon, 18 degree below horizon, 15 degree below horizon. He said it's not possible that you use the same degree below horizon for all the countries. So that what people should use is longitude and latitude to determine the timing of solar. So you use the longitude, latitude of Nigeria, for instance, to determine their own solar. So he argued at length on that. So when he now said longitude and latitude, so about, let me say, 14 or so years back, I personally now mailed him. I said he should send to me his own timing based on longitude and latitude for a whole year. He now sent it to me. So when he did that, I discovered that the same Maghrib is having the same problem. So what the time he sent to me as the time of Maghrib, I discovered that the sun had set before that time. I now mailed him back. I said, the sun is setting around 10 minutes before the time that he mentioned. So he now replied me that maybe I didn't see it well. Why I could see it very clearly, even I had to climb the mosque, that is the first floor. So one can see when the sun is setting, where the sun will set clearly. But he said maybe I didn't see it well. But later, I saw that he also complained about Maghrib in one of his posts that I read. So, and that's why this degree of 18, we cannot rely on it completely. So, maybe what some people will see will be different from what other people will see. All we need to do is to go back to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. But trying to convert it to degree, it may not work because of what the difference in the country's latitude, longitude, and the likes. So this may not really work. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, now how can we determine how much time is enough for a single worker before its time runs out? Is it by considering the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha alone without the other surah?
Well, you look at the minimum time that somebody uses to observe a raka without being lengthy, too lengthy and too short. Allah.
What is in a commercial world and an older and others and does not have ablution? How does the person pray if he says that the time for the next solar will run out or will meet him right in the
box? Now, it depends. If it is a solar that he can combine like Zura and Asri, so in that case he can delay it to progress to his destination. But if it is a solar that he can combine together like Asri and Maghrib, he has to pray in the bus if he can't find his way down from the bus. Like if he can find his way down from the bus, then it is compulsory on him to alight and observe solar. But let's assume that the driver won't wait for him, for instance. Then in that case, that you can live Allah ma sa'in la usaha. He will pray to the best of his ability in the bus, whether seated or so. Even if it leads towards praying without ablution. As we mentioned, that is the timing of solar is the most important shart, most important condition. So if the person can do tayammum with the sand on the deck of the bus, then he should. But let's assume that there is no room, sand to do his work. Instead of allowing that time that you are not allowed to combine with another, the solar, which you are not allowed to combine with another solar, instead of allowing that time to go, you will have to pray like that. Allahu Alam.
nothing. In some Scandinavian countries like Finland and Norway, the closest country to them is Russia, which has 6 time zones. If they are to use Russia time, how do they do it? Please note that Russia changes the time of the country periodically.
I think even in Finland, they don't have, the time is not all the same. Some are differ from others when it comes to the use of solar based on the size that they carry out. So those who want to copy, they copy the closest part of Russia to them.
But some scholars also, I don't know if that's correct, that some scholars argue that they can use the time that the sun sets last or the sun appears last in their country to determine the time of their solar.
Now, as you said, take for instance, maybe before they start experiencing that event, maybe yesterday, for instance, it was normal. So, and today, is what is not, they start experiencing the uncommon one. So they can use what they used yesterday to determine this. It still falls under what? Ukdorola. Where did the scholars get this? They got it from the hadith of Dajjal. When Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking about Dajjal, that he will spend 40 days. A day is like a year. A day is like a month. A day is like a week. And the remaining days are like your ordinary days. He now said, how are we going to observe Salah? He said, Ukduru Laha. That is Ukduru Laha. That is, try to watch, to assume. So, and that is, so those countries that are having something similar to the time Messenger of Allah was talking about, so the scholars, they try to apply that they have to do takdir. The takdir is for them to use the closest maybe country or so to them. So another technique is for them to use what happened yesterday to determine what they will use today. So Allah.
Did the woman start menstruating when she's about to pray after? Does she have to pray this particular after prayer after she becomes pure?
No, she won't pay that back.
Finally, what is the case of a person or group of people that has set the time of Isha prayer for the first part of the midnight and the person dies or one of the people dies before the time comes? Are we going to start okay, so sorry.
Now, as long as the time of the solar hasn't gone out, it won't say what the person is going to is owing, because the time hasn't gone out. It is when the person doesn't pray till the time goes out, he now dies after that, then we say what he is owing solar. But the one who is still within that time, he won't pay back. It's just like the one who dies in the month of Ramadan, who will say he should pay back all that is owing Ramadan, or the family should be on his behalf. No. But let's assume that somebody is alive throughout the month of Ramadan. In that dies after Ramadan. So that is when the issue of what's owing Ramadan will come up, which the family will be encouraged to do what's it called? Fidya or fasting on his behalf. Wallahu a'lam.
The case of Judas in Iraq, the hadith of Imam ibn Hussein, when the Prophet ﷺ, when he was serving in Salah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to do takbir in all the khabt and the rafar. Well, now, for someone who is going to do Judas in Iraq, for example, when is he going to do the takbir? Is it when he's raising his head from the institute or after he's getting up from the jail cell, the short jail cell in between?
Now the one who wants to do Jalsat al-Istira, So when is he going to make the text deal? When he wants to do his data tisera. So as he's raising his head from sujud, he will be saying takbir, and most likely he's going to conclude the takbir at the sitting position before he now gets up. And now Ali, in his al-Azkar, said the person words would lengthen the takbir, would lengthen the takbir to watch, to be able to cover for the Jalsat Istira and watch. So Sheikh Al-Albani in his last hadith of Sahih said there is no evidence for that. Said there is no evidence for it. So if the person says it as he's raising his head from sujood, so if he's terminated, why is it in position one? Let him get up. Allahu Akbar.
What will, okay, now there's one more question. Okay, now someone is asking, how do we determine the middle of the night?
I think this has been mentioned before.
Finally, the ruling of Nawafil, of observing Nawafil after Salatul Asr.
Now, there is evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this. So, he did it once, and afterwards, he stuck to it. So, Aisha radiallahu anha said, whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered a house after Salatul Asr, to observe the Turaqah. Then there are some asar in Sahih Bukhari, like that of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anha, that said that he would not frown at anybody who prayed after Salatul Asr. We have the asar of Ali radiallahu anhu, نعم نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الصلاة بعد العصر إلا أن تكون الشمس مرتفعة نقية. It's not that we should not observe salah after salat al-asr unless if the sun is still high in the sky. Meaning the salah, the hadith that says لا صلاة بعد العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. There is no salah after salat al-asr until the sun sets. Is talking about when one is observing it when the sun is almost setting, not when the sun is still high in the sky. So the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, which was reported by Abu Dawud, so we can reconcile with the hadith that there is no salah after salat al-asr until the sun sets. That the one that says no salah after salat al-asr is talking about when the sun is about to set. The one that says unless if the sun is still high in the sky, shows that we can observe it. So when we look this, we look at that of Abdullah ibn Umar, we look at that of Aisha radiallahu anha, so they all point to the fact that it is permissible to observe Nafil after Salatul Asr, Turaka. Now it was said that Umar radiallahu anhu will beat people that observes Nafil after Salatul Asr. So, for this reason, I think Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, brother Allah anhu, stopped observing it. Then after the death of Umar, he continued again. He continued again. So because in one report, it was said to Umar, brother Allah anhu, why are you beating people for this? He said, I'm afraid that they will observe it when the sun is about to set. So this statement of Umar clarified everything. Sheikh Al-Albani in Sislat in Sahih, I think volume 6, I'm not too sure. So brought all this afar in it and discussed the matter at length. That one will have any doubt to say it is permissible. However, majority of the scholars will continue to say it's not permissible. It's not permissible. Relying on the hadith, La Salata Ba'da Al-Asri, Hatta Taghruba Al-Shams. But you have to look at other evidences which suggest that it is permissible to do that. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, that was transferred.
Now, if the baby dies before 7 days, the seventh day, understand the question. If the baby dies before the seventh day, are they to slaughter a kikof for it or not? These scholars differ. Some scholars are of the opinion that since the baby has been born alive, so the fact that it doesn't live up to the seventh day doesn't mean the article should not be done. And this, wallahu alam, appears to be the stronger opinion. Now, is it compulsory to slaughter article or not? So this is a different thing. Whether the baby lives for 20 years, 30 years, is slaughtering article compulsory? According to majority of the scholars, it is not compulsory. It is something that is what? Sunnah mu'akkada. But if one doesn't slaughter, then one is not sinful, according to what majority of the scholars are upon. However, some scholars are of the opinion that it is compulsion, based on the statement, كُلُّ غُلَامٍ مُرْتَعَنٌ بِعَقِيقَتِهِ تُوْفَعُ عَنْ يُوْمَ السَّابِعِينَ. That is, every child is like his mortgaged with the aqiqa to be slaughtered. So they said this shows that where it is compulsion. So to be on the safe side, one should slaughter the aqiqa, particularly the child has lived beyond the seventh day. So since the child has lived beyond the seventh day, so the issue that comes up now is the issue of whether it is wajib to slaughter aqiqa or not. Not the issue of whether should we slaughter because the child doesn't live up to 7 days. The child has lived beyond 7 days. So, wallahu alam. Then another thing to be added here, may Allah assist us, is that slaughtering of the aqiqa doesn't mean celebration. If they can go out on Friday to get the animal that they want to slaughter, so they won't stop them from slaughtering on Saturday. Election doesn't even stop slaughtering. But we want to make a very flamboyant city, that people will come from this. This is not compulsory, nor is it sunnah to say people have to gather. No single hadith that says it is sunnah to do that. Yes, permissible, because some tabi'un, particularly Muawiyah ibn Qurra, had a son, and he named the son. He had a child. He named the child Iyas, and he invited some companions to come and eat, and they ate, and he asked them to also supplicate for the child. They supplicated. He himself also supplicated. So that shows it is permissible. That shows it is permissible. But is it sunnah to gather people for it? So there is no evidence that says it is sunnah to gather people. What is sunnah? Is to slaughter. So which scholars have divided over whether it is compulsory or not compulsory. But they all agree that it is not compulsory that you bring people together to feed them. And that's why Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala will say what he detests people to gather for it. The way they gather for walimatul nikah. Walimatul nikah, we have evidence for the gathering. But that of Atiqa, we don't have evidence that people should gather. That is, making it mustahab to gather. Unlike what? Walima to nikah. But if it's permissible, it's permissible. Because some companions, they practice it. So Allah wa'ala. Wow.
After the evaluation of the
Rakat al Fajr?
Yes, Fajr.
Okay. Okay. One wakes up late after sunrise. He has to pray. He has to pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Now? No, as long as he's not born alive, no need for people. If the child, the baby in the womb is born alive and dies after that, the 47 days, this is where what they call the sick is the stillborn. So the stillborn is not just sort of people for that. Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت
الله